Well, last week, I'm going to just do a quick, not quick review. Last week, we learned a lot of cool things about how just being a student of our child. What does it mean to be a student of your child? And that just means to pay attention, to look at them, to see how they respond to things, to learn what makes them happy, what makes them sad, what do they love to do, what do they hate to do, right? We want to know what gets their motor going, what makes them excited about life, and we want to come alongside of that, and we want to encourage them wherever they're at. So I don't know if you went home and kind of started watching your kids a little bit more closely, but I sure did. I mean, I've been living with them, some of them, for 18 years, and I probably couldn't put a color on them. I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes you act red, sometimes you act blue. I don't know. But it's kind of fun just to think about those things and really just to be grateful and thankful for the way God created your children and then to come alongside of them and encourage them in those things. And it's important to be a student of your child as we move into the topic of discipline because we need to know how our child operates in order to be able to discipline them well and to discipline them in love and to really be able to get to their heart and to know, how can I change this behavior that's dishonoring, right? Like we want our children to honor God, but we have to know, how are we going to get and move them in that direction? And it's different for every child. I introduced myself the last time I spoke a couple weeks ago, and I have 7 children, and every child is different. And what I did for child 1 did not work for child 7 or 3 or 5 or 2. You know, like they just are different people. So you have to know your child and know what works for them. So these skills that we've been learning throughout the weeks, they're all going to come to play in discipline. We have to have our boundaries. We have to set our expectations clear. Right, we have to have our priority right. Like, discipline is something God wants us to do, so it needs to be one of those things that we focus on and we make it a priority, especially in the younger years. So everything we've been learning so far has kind of leading up to this topic of discipline. But before I jump in, I just want you to think, because this is about you and your children. So if you just think about your children, would you consider them well-behaved? Do your children listen to you when you ask them to do something? And for different children, your answer might have a different answer, right? Like, I have one kid, I say one thing one time, and it's yes, ma'am, and it gets done. And then I have one that's kind of spacey, so you just have to remind them, but they really want to do what is right. And then I have some that are like, yes, but I'm not going to do it, and so you have to follow through. And then you have some that are just like, no way, mom, I'm not doing that. So I've got the spectrum. But like, as, you know, overall, how well does your child behave? And think about these things. Do they obey right away? Like when you ask them to do something, do they, okay, mom, and they honor you and get up right away? Do they obey all the way? Do they do everything? They know the expectation and they want to please you in all of it, or they know that they should do it and they do it all the way. Some kids will try to do a half job or try to do enough to get by and to get you off their back, right? Like, if I just do this, mom will stop bugging me. Right? So think about that. Think about it. Is your child that way? And then, does your child obey with a good attitude? Because that's just as important as the obedience. We want them to obey because they want to, and because they love you, and because they love God, right? Like, that's the ultimate goal in discipline. But it's a long road to get there. And as I was talking to my husband about this after I already printed all my notes, he said, you know, parenting a child who is saved and loves Jesus is 100 times different than parenting a child who does not know God. And it's true. Every kid in my family, all 7 of them, their behavior changed when they came to know Christ. And so really the goal is for them to know Christ, because when they know Christ, then they want to obey. And God and the Holy Spirit helps them to obey. And the Holy Spirit convicts them and shows them their need to obey. So all of this, we want our child's behavior to honor God, but how do we get them there? And really, it's for them to have a personal walk with the Lord themselves and the Lord doing that work in their lives. You're just there. God has ordained you to be the one that helps them to get there. And how do we do that as the mom in their life? So what is discipline? Really? I mean, we got to start there. If we're going to talk about disciplining, what is discipline? If you look it up in the dictionary, it just says the act of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience, right? This is the idea of I want them to behave a certain way. I want them to do this certain thing. And if they don't do it, they are going to be punished. That's kind of the idea. And that really is discipline. It's a desire for your kids to walk a certain way. So what is godly discipline? Like the world disciplines, if you see it in the military, they're very disciplined, right? There's this idea of what discipline looks like. But what is God's way of disciplining? And that's really what we want to talk about. What does God say about discipline? What does he want from us? And really, God's idea of discipline is that we would just train our children to obey him and to please him, ultimately. Like, that's the ultimate goal, is that our children would obey and love God and want to do what is right because they love God, ultimately. And so we want to discipline and disciple our children in a way that pleases God as well. And I was talking, my group of ladies, the ladies at my table last week were all from China. And so when we were talking about, like, being a student of your child, you know, that from their culture, like, that's not what you do. Like, you expect these things from your children, and if they don't obey, then it's really harsh and all this. And, like, their culture affected the way they parent today. And I was just reminded, like, and that's the same for the Western culture, right? Like, we have our own culture, and we bring that into our parenting. But today we just want to think about what's God's culture. Like, there's kingdom culture, and as a believer in Christ, we want to do it God's way. And so we're going to look into God's word and see what does he have to say? What tools does he give us? How does he lead and guide us? And then try to apply that practically as we move forward of, like, what does that look like in my own home? But really, it starts with you and your walk with God. Like, you have to be close to God. You have to know his word and what it says. And then you have to, case by case, look at each issue that comes up in your family, pray about it, ask him for wisdom, ask him for help, and move forward in a way that God's asking you to do it. And it's going to look different. Like, it's not a one formula fits all sort of thing. We have to, it's very individualized. It's individualized by home. It's individualized by couple, like what both you and your husband feel comfortable doing. It's individualized by your child, like what works well with them. So it's a very individualized thing. So when I'm sharing with you, this is how I do it. I don't have it right. Like, if my kids are good, it's God's grace. Like, it's not any, like, I'm just trying to do my best, and then I have to trust God with the rest. Like, okay, Lord, I've done the best I can do, and I have to, you have to fill in those gaps, and you have to work if anything's good is going to come out of these years of parenting. And so that's where I'm at. So I don't want you to look at me and be like, okay, well, she did it this way, so this is how I want to do it. No, you need to go to the Lord and say, hey, how do you want me to do this? And it matters, because we all have different opinions on different things. And I might say something that you're like, there's no way I would ever do that to my child. That's great. Like, that's your conviction, right? But, like, that's okay. And then God's going to give you wisdom on how you can get the same point across in a different way so that they will be disciplined. So let's just read God's word first and just hear the truth about discipline. There's a lot of Proverbs that discuss this. I remember reading through the Proverbs one day and just, like, circling verses and saying, parenting 101. Like, God gives us so much wisdom just in the Proverbs alone. So Proverbs 3:11-12 says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father, the son, in whom he delights. So it's this idea, right? Because God loves us, he corrects us. Your kids, when they are being corrected, are not going to think that you love them. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be told to change their behavior. But the loving thing to do is to correct them, because that's what God does for us. Because he loves us, he corrects us. He doesn't let us continue walking in a way that dishonors him. He wants us to get back on the right path. And that's what we're doing as a mom. We're like, hey, this is not honoring. We're going to get you back on the right path. So there's just that wisdom. And we're not supposed to despise it, right? As when God corrects us, don't despise it. God does it because he loves us. Don't be mad. And I was a kid that got mad when my parents spanked me. Like, I would be so angry at them, and they would say, come hug me. They wouldn't even say, come hug me, because they knew I wouldn't. Like, I'm not going to hug you afterwards. And then I had brothers, my younger brothers, and my mom would be like, oh, you're going to get a spanking. And they would lay over mom's lap and just take it. And I'd be like, this is wrong. Get up and run. Like, don't let her catch you. And I, like, remember my mom chasing me right? Like, I despised the chasing of my mom. I had the wrong attitude. And where my brothers had that right attitude, they know they did wrong, they knew they deserved it, and they did it so well. And my mom said I got it three times worse, because by the time she caught me, she was so angry that my spanking hurt a lot worse than my brother's spanking, who nicely just bent over their lap. And that's the same, like, that plays out in regular life, but that's the same with God. When we're quick to be like, yes, Lord, I messed up, right? The punishment's lighter. Usually he realizes our heart has changed, and he's good. And then when we're running and fighting against it, our punishment's going to be stronger, because he loves us and he wants us to know this is not okay. So Proverbs 29:15, another nugget of wisdom for you. It says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. That's mother specific too, which I think is interesting, right? We're a group of moms. We don't want our kids doing their own thing, making bad choices, right? That does bring us shame. And so it's better to give the rod, use the rod, give rebuke when needed, because that just honors the Lord. And we don't want our kids to bring us shame. And that's a child left to himself. And a child just gets to do whatever they want, make their own choices, you know, throw that fit and slam the door, like, right? When they're left to themselves to do those things without being corrected, that attitude's going to go into adulthood. And they're going to go to their job, and they're going to stomp, and they're going to throw the things on their desk, because no one's taught them that, hey, that's not okay to act that way. And it's going to bring you shame. It's going to make you sad in the later years if you don't address it in the earlier years. And then Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So you notice that in the Proverbs, they use like rod a lot. And they say that it needs to hurt as well, right? It's the idea of like spanking. I am a firm believer of spanking. God is obviously a firm believer of spanking. Like it's shared in his word, so there's freedom in that. If you feel like the Lord is calling you to spank and the culture is telling you, no, that's not okay, you can do what God tells you to do. There's freedom in obeying God in that. Does it need to be done well? Yes. Do you need to have the right attitude? You don't want to beat your child. You just want to get their attention. For me, as a parent, I called it the reset button. Sometimes I could talk them till they were blue in the face, but it wasn't until I popped them on the bottom that anything changed. It was like a great reset button. And then I'm like, I read verses like that, and I'm like, duh, that's what God tells us to do, right? Like, I should just start with that. And it says discipline them promptly. Discipline is a game, not a game, but it's like you got to be on top of it. You have to do it right away. And you have to do it consistently. And it is exhausting, and it is tiring. And yes, you might feel like you're spending all day doing it. But I promise you that if you do it when they're little, it lessens as they get older, and you get to the point where you're not really doing it anymore, because you've done those hard things in the earlier years. Then in Hebrews, God talks about discipline again, just God's discipline towards us, which is a model for us that we can go away with. Okay, 12 verse 5 of Hebrews says, And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you're enduring chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? So it's this idea, right, of a relationship. Because God is our father, and because we are his child, he disciplines us. That's a sign of that relationship. Because we are parents and we have children, we're going to discipline them. And the discipline is because we love them. He does it because he loves us. And we should also discipline because we love them. We don't want them to walk in that kind of behavior. We want them to rise above. We want them to do better, right? That is the loving thing to do. Is it painful? Woo, it's painful and it's not fun. Read Hebrews 12:11 talks about how painful it is. Here we go. Hebrews 12:11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So it's that idea of it is not fun, it is painful, it is tedious. But nevertheless, it is going to produce righteousness if they're trained by it. So it's this idea of pain now will pay off into peace and righteousness later. You've got to do the work of the pain, the painful part, in order to receive the blessing of watching your kid walk in the way of the Lord. And so that's why it's important to know your child, because you need to know what is painful to them. Some kids, a spanking is the only thing that will be painful to them. You could take away their friends, you could take away their screen time, you can take away their books, they will not care, right? That doesn't matter. To some kids, you can spank until their bottom is black and blue, and it does not change their behavior. But if you, like, don't let them play with their friends, they're going to be so sad, and that's going to be the worst day of their life, right? Or you take away the screen, and you say, you can't play, you can't watch TV today, you've lost it today. And let me tell you, that is painful for moms. Because if you take away their friends, you're dealing with a child in your house all day that is stuck with you. And if you take away their screen times, you're dealing with a child that's going to say they're bored and they don't know what to do and they're stuck with you. And you have to deal with that. And so it's hard work, right? No matter what you do, it's hard work. That's why I like spankings. It's quick and easy and it's done. Like, oh. Like, I remember I've taken some of those things away from my kids because it is the most painful thing for them. And I'm like, this is torturous for me. I like called Kevin. I'm like, this is not fair. Like, I'm punishing myself. I didn't do anything wrong. Like, ugh, it's hard work. So for me, like, I'm just thinking, like, 0 to 2. How did I discipline 0 to 2? You can't reason with a 0 to 2-year-old, right? But it's amazing. You can tell a kid no at, like, 6 months, and they will look at you, and then they will do exactly what you told them not to do. I remember one kid was 6 months old when they, like, looked at me and openly defied me. And when they see that, that's when your parenting game begins. Like, okay, they know better. And so for me, I would just swat them on the thigh. I mean, they're little. It doesn't take much. Swat them on the thigh. If it's their hand that's doing the wrong thing, swat their hand. No, you cannot touch that. That is not okay. The hot stove is not okay. Don't touch it. I told you no. I have a boundary in my house is screaming. I do not like screaming. So I was quick at 0 to 2. If they started screaming, I'd just pop them, like, on the side. It just kind of wakes them up. It stops them. And then you can talk to them and be like, don't scream. You cannot scream. That is not okay. They'll look at you and they'll cry and they might try it again. Then you just, that is not okay, right? That's. I really don't know if anybody else has any other ideas for that age. I mean, they don't understand friends. You can't take away screens. You can't do anything. So I don't know any other ideas. But it starts at that age because they're openly disobeying you and you have behaviors that you're trying to work that are not honoring the Lord, right? So you want to work them out of them, so you've got to start young. So let's think 2 to 10. Like, what are some ideas for 2 to 10-year-olds? For me, I was a spanker. Corner, timeout. It's a great time. Hey, go sit on your bed. You obviously can't play with people very well right now. You're not allowed to play with people right now. You need to go sit on your bed. I've taken away, hey, we were all going to watch a movie tonight, but you don't get to watch a movie tonight because you made that choice and that was wrong and that's not honoring. So you miss out on that. Or you're at the park. Hey, you blew it. We're headed home. Park time is over, right? We cannot play here anymore. You showed me that you can't make good choices to be able to stay here, so you're going to leave. 11 to 18-year-olds, you can take away privileges. I find that works the best. Anything that really makes them happy because it's a freedom, becomes no longer a freedom, right? Now it's locked down. Grab their phones, say no more phones. If it's driving, take away their keys. They can't drive. You can also punish by more chores. Like, oh, you just earned yourself mopping the floor. Have fun. You know, and if you can't do that with a good attitude, you're going to earn the bathroom too, right? Like, you just do something that you know, but it has to be something that bothers them. If they like to clean, then that's not going to bother them. So what works for your child? I've never met a child that likes to clean, though, so that might work for most kids. All right, so you just have to think, what works? What would work for my kid? And I think every kid is different, right? Some kids you can look at, and they will cry and repent, and that's it. One mean look, like a and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to. I thought, you know, I'm so sorry I had that thought. Some kids, the spanking is the reset button. Some kids, like, they just have, their mouth is running, so you put hot sauce in their mouth or whatever. Like, you say those words, I'm going to put your mouth on fire because it is speaking fire right now or whatever your punishment is, and they don't like that, and so they never want that to happen again. I do not remember this. I guess I've used soap on my kids before, and they remembered it, so that was good. And I don't remember doing it again, so it must have not been a regular occurrence. So just that idea, there's lots of different things. And every kid is so unique. So I had six, and my number seven, I know she's a blessing from the Lord. I did not plan on having seven kids. My goal was six the whole time. But when I was on the operating table and my doctor was saying, hey, we really should sew you up so that you have no more children, I was like, no, I want another one. So I know that was from the Lord. And so then I had her, and I was like, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, everything about her, from the pregnancy all the way to, like, now she's 10. She's been different and keeping me on my parenting game. Well, with her, I could spank her. That means nothing to her. I could take away her friends. She doesn't really care. She's got plenty of siblings in the house. You know, I could say no movies. She's like, okay, then I'm going to talk your ear off, Mom. I'm like, well, it's Mom and me time. This is great. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. The one thing that I learned is refusal of love. Now, as a mom, that sounds absolutely terrible, right? Like, I'm going to refuse my child love. But I noticed that after I would discipline her, she'd be like, okay, Mom, we're good, right? Give me a hug. Like, her hug. Like, if I would give her a hug, she just thought the world was great and I can just keep going and doing whatever I was doing as long as Mom hugged me. And so that's where I drew the line. I stopped hugging her. And it wasn't like forever. I just said, Natalie, you are not listening to me. You are not obeying me. I cannot hug you right now. We are not in a right relationship. And until this relationship changes, I am not going to hug you. Oh man, that crushed her heart. It crushed me too, because every mom, like, you want to make that connection. But that was the only thing. And like, when I started doing that, and I didn't do it all the time, but when I would do it, like, I felt the Lord was like, okay, now it's time to do it. I would do it. She would change, and she would be so repentant, and she'd be like, Mom, I am so sorry. I really did do what was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And she would change her behavior. And then when her behavior changed, I'd be like, you know what, Natalie, I love you. I really do love you. I wanted to give you that hug earlier, but I couldn't because we just were not right. And until we're right, I can't do that. And so that worked for her. Now, I wouldn't say that's a good idea, but like, I tried everything. I'm just sharing the story because you have to get creative and you have to know your kid. Like, what is going to work for your kid? I have other kids that never wanted to hug me anyways. So I'm like, whatever. Deal with that. Okay, so here's some principles. Okay, discipline. What are we going to do? What's the things we need to know? This is in our notes here. Just the twos, the how-tos of discipline. One, we want to be united. You have to be on the same page with your husband. This is hard. I would say that my husband and I's number one disagreement in marriage has been discipline. Like, he's very harsh, and I don't like it. And I'm like the mom that's like, that is too harsh. You're talking to my children that way. Do not talk to my children that way. Right? So you have to be united. First of all, I have to trust the Lord that God is working through my husband in those times. And I have to know that he's accountable to God. So like, whatever he does, like, he's got to talk to God about whatever choices he makes. So I've had to wrestle with all of that. But in front of the children, I have to say, hey, this is what your dad said. And this is the consequence that he gave. And so this is what you're stuck with. And then they're crying and upset, and they're like, oh, isn't dad so unfair? And I'm like, well, dad made it clear, and this is what he said was going to happen, and you made that choice. This, you know, put the responsibility on the kid. You made the bad choice. You did that. And because of that, dad said this, and this is what you have to do. You don't have to say you agree with it or don't agree with it. You just have to support it, right? Like, this is what dad said. What dad says goes. Dad's the boss of our home. That's what God says. So we've got to listen to dad. Like, we have to obey dad. So just be united, support each other, have each other's back. You know, you want your husband to say the same about you. Nope, mom said, no screen today because you did this. You want that support, so you got to give it to your husband as well. Second, be consistent. Your kids will know really quick if you are a mom that says what you mean and means what you says and you're going to do it right away, or if you're just, oh, I know the level. When mom's voice reaches this high, then I have to listen to her. When she's down here, I don't have to listen. So be consistent. Just say it, and if they disobey, then give the consequence right away. Every single time. And this is hard, especially when you're like in the middle of a conversation with another mom and your kid's like doing something that's wrong. Like, that being consistent means, sorry, I need to take care of this, right? And dragging your kid to the bathroom so you can talk to them, or dragging them to a private spot so that you can have that conversation. That's what being consistent is. It means when you're sitting on the couch watching a movie and you see your kid do something that you know that they're not supposed to do, it means turning that movie off and getting up and dealing with it. And that is tiring. And it's, sometimes it's easier just to be like, I didn't see that. I'm just going to pretend that I didn't notice, right? Like, but that, I mean, it's real. It's fighting that selfish battle. But you have to be consistent. And then also the idea that consistency means with consistency, you'll see change. And some moms will be like, well, I tried it. Well, how many times did you try it? Three times? No, like that's every time. You might not see the payoff of consistency for years. I mean, you might discipline a child every time they do that one thing, and you might not see it change, like literally for years, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, right? Like but you have to be consistent. If it's a bad behavior, you have to say no every time. That's not okay. That's not okay. So be consistent, be united, be consistent. Number three, be clear. I kind of already said this. Make your expectations clear. Mean what you say. Like if you say, hey, we're going to go to the park today and this is what I expect from you. And if I see you fighting with the other kids on there or pushing people down the slide or whatever their problem is, address it. Say, I don't want to see that today. And if I do see that, we're going home. Like just be very clear of what you expect and what's going to happen if they don't follow through. And I don't think you always have to say the consequence right away. You can just say there's going to be a consequence and you can be mulling it over. Like what is that consequence going to be? Because you have to give a consequence that you're really going to do. You can't say, we'll never play with these friends ever again, and they're like your neighbors next door, right? Like, that's not true. Like, and then your kids know, oh, my mom always says things like that, and she never follows through. Like, she's not really telling the truth. And, I mean, think about in the grocery store or something. When I go to the grocery store, and my kids are old, too. I still tell them, like, do not ask for anything. We're going to go to the grocery store. You're expected to follow me behind in the cart. You're not getting in other people's way in the other aisle. We're a big family. You got to stay behind me. We're like ducks in a row, like walking through the thing. But I tell them that, and I'm like, do not ask for anything. And if you ask, you're going to be in trouble. And so, I mean, I make it clear. And there's been times where I've had to like leave the stuff in the cart and go out to the car to discipline them. Sometimes we return back after the discipline. Sometimes I'm like, forget this. Shopping's not happening today. Sorry, cashier, you're going to have to figure out all this food in this cart because I've got to take care of this kid that's throwing a fit. But you have to be clear so they know. And it's helpful for them. They know what the boundary is. This is what mom expects of me. She expects this kind of behavior. She expects, going to church. Like, my kids didn't always want to go to Sunday school. And I was okay with that. But I was like, if you're going to sit with me, you're going to sit with me, and you're not going to talk. You're not going to ask me any questions. You're not going to go to the bathroom. You're not going to get a drink of water. You're sitting there, and you're going to participate. And if you can't do that well, then I'm putting you in your class. And at that point, that was a punishment because they didn't want to go to Sunday school, right? They wanted to sit with me. So they had a choice, and they choose. And it's really up to them. And then when they're mad at you, like, well, you chose to go to class because you couldn't sit here the way I asked you to sit here. I've also done it the other way, where I've had expectations. I'm dropping you off in Sunday school today, and when you go, you are going to be kind to your teacher, and you're not going to cry for me, and if you can't go and sit in your class, then you're going to get in trouble. And we are ministry people in Okinawa. Like, my husband's was the youth pastor. People are new at our church, and I'm like going into the kitchen to find a spoon because I'm like, this kid is going to class today, and I'm like marching through the church with a spoon. And I'm mad. This is not recommended. But I'm like going in there into the toddler class and being like, hey, I told you that you were going to come in here nicely and quietly without talking and you're without yelling and screaming at me. I mean, they're 3 and 4. I'm not saying the 1 and 2 year old that have detachment issues at that age, right? Like, they know better. They've gone to class quietly and peacefully before. And so then I've had to take them to the bathroom. And then I've like looked up and I looked at the faces around me and their eyes are like this big. And I'm like, oh. Sorry. I've done it well and I haven't done it well. But you want to be clear so that the kids know what's coming. It wasn't a surprise to my kid that that was happening. It might have been a surprise to everyone else around me. But everyone, that kid was forewarned that that was going to happen. Next thing is to be calm, which I just gave you a bad example of that. Be calm. And try not to discipline when you're angry. It takes time. Sometimes that means you've got to cool off. The kid's got to cool off. In our house, I would send them to the corner before they got disciplined. And we had, in Japan, it's wonderful. They just have like bathrooms that are just toilet rooms. And so they would just go stand in the toilet room. And I figured if they had to go to the bathroom, it's there. And if they need a drink of water, the sink's right there. You could drink out of the water in Japan. And so I was like, they have everything they need in the bathroom. they can hang out there. And then I would go in and either talk to them or, you know, discipline them at that time or whatever needed to happen, say whatever consequence was coming next. But it was just kind of a break. And it gave me time to pray. Like, Lord, how serious is this? Am I being foolish to be mad at this? You know, is this the right thing that I should be getting on top of? And asking for wisdom and asking, okay, what's the next step, Lord? Does he need a spanking? Do I need to take the screen away? Or do I just need to talk to them and kind of see where they're at? You know, you can have those conversations. And for us, it was a private place too, because with a lot of people in my family, it was just one-on-one time in the bathroom. And they loved it, they'll tell you. Sometimes I left them in there because I forgot about them. And they're like, Mom, I was in there for like an hour. And I was like, great, I was really going to spank you, but now you're free because I left you in the bathroom for an hour. But the bathroom's a good place too because someone's going to go there eventually. Like, someone's like, Mom, he's still in here. I have to go. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. But that's how we do it at our house. But be calm. You want to just make sure that you're calm. And then be firm. You want them to know that you mean business. That doesn't mean you have to yell or scream. You just need to have that serious look on your face. And sometimes they do funny things. And you really think it's funny what they did, but you have to like put on that mom face and be like, that was not okay. You are not allowed to say that word or whatever that comes out of their mouth that might be absolutely hilarious, right? You've got to be your actress and be firm and be like, not okay. And then go to the bedroom later and be like, you won't believe what your son did. It was so funny. And then have that laugh then. But you've got to be firm in the middle of it. And your kids need to know that you're not messing around. Kids are smart. They know. They know exactly how far they can go. And then last but not least, you want to reconnect with your children at the end. You want to make sure that your child knows that you forgive and that you love them. Right? God always forgives us. He always loves us, but he always disciplines us because he loves us. So, but his forgiveness is there. We don't doubt that. Like, we don't doubt that God doesn't forgive us or does forgive us, right? He does forgive us. And he loves us. And you want to check in on them and just make sure that they're okay. Like, some kids might need time. Sometimes some kids you can hug right away. They're like, yeah, Mom, it's good. It's all good. We're good. Some kids need a little space. But just make that connection an hour later, the next morning, whatever age, you know, like whatever seems appropriate. Hey, we good? You okay about what happened last night? You know, I just want to let you know that I love you and I'm for you and I just want God's best for you. Just reminding of them of that. And I feel like I did this when I was talking to my kids, like, hey, what could I have done better in discipline? And Josiah's like, you couldn't make it made sense. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, sometimes I got in trouble and I had no idea why. And I was like, oh, that's a fail. But I had no idea. I felt like I talked till I was blue in the face, but some kids can't receive it at that time either. You know, it might have been better to like talk about it afterwards. So something maybe I could do better is like the next day, like, hey, remember what happened yesterday? What do you think about that? Or, you know, do you remember why you got in trouble yesterday? Like that, you know, that's why you can't do those things. And discipline is not changing behavior, but really the heart. Like, we want our kids to, you might want your kids to be like the perfect kid. That doesn't really matter. It's their heart that matters. Because kids can do the right things and have a really wicked and evil heart. Really. And so we really want to get just to the heart of the matter. God doesn't want us to do the right thing out of obligation or because we're afraid of punishment. Like, God doesn't even want us to operate that way. God wants us to do things because we love him. He wants us to be motivated by our love for him. Because I love God, I am going to honor my husband, right? Because I love God, I am going to go to church and not forsake the assembling of ourselves because God commands it, and I love God, and I want to obey him. Like, that needs to be my motivation. Not, ugh, if I don't do this, God's going to be mad at me, so I have to do this. Right? So that's the same with our kids. We want our kids to do it ultimately because they love God. And until they get to that point, because they love you, hopefully, they have that desire to obey you because they love you. And so discipline is an opportunity to disciple your child. That's why it's important not just to do it quickly, but you really want to disciple your child. Ask them, hey, why did you do that? Why did you hit your brother? You might find out that the other brother needs some talking to too, right? Like, well, he took my this, and that's why I hit him. Okay, well, I'm going to go talk to your brother about that because that was wrong. But you, even though someone takes your things, you cannot act out in anger. You cannot hit him. That was not okay. And because you chose the wrong response, you are going to get in trouble for that. And so I didn't put this in my notes, but this is good. I always tell my kids, one, talk to your sibling first. I do not want you to come tell me, oh, so-and-so did this to me, until you've talked to them. You need to say, hey, Josiah, I don't like it when you do that. Can you please not do that? This is how it makes me feel, and I don't appreciate it. Like, you need to have that conversation with him. If you've had that conversation with him, then you can come to me. It's the Matthew 18 principle, right? Go talk to your brother. Okay, that's not working. I need some help. Drag mom into it. Then I can go and say, hey, I heard that Josiah asked you not to do this. Why are you still doing it? You're not honoring him. Like, he's asking you to stop. Like, and I always tell them it's going to be like double trouble. Like, if someone's already asked you not to do the wrong thing and you haven't chose that, and mom has to come and ask you to do the right thing, then you're going to get like double, because someone already tried to correct you before I had to come in. And then, yeah, so then those are the two steps. I'm like, hey, you talk to them. If that doesn't work, then I will intervene. I will talk to them. Okay, so what does this look like in regular life? Birth to five, you're setting the foundation. You want to teach your child to obey all, I used to say this to my kids, obey all the way, right away, with a happy heart. Those are the three things. Hey, I asked you to do that. I want you to do it all the way. I want you to do it right away, right away. And then all the way, everything I've asked you to do. And you need to work on your heart and make sure you do it with the right attitude. And that's hard. But you just want to, I just would drill that into their heads. Hey, did you do that with a good heart? No. Did you do that all the way? Did you know better? Yeah, I knew better. I should have done that better. I should have finished washing all the dishes. Or whatever it is. Like, they know. So you can just say, hey, all the way, right away, with a happy heart. And then you want to make your expectations clear and expect full obedience the first time you say something. If I get lazy, then I'm asking them to do the same thing three or four times. But that should never be the case. Never. And we shouldn't have to yell. Like, if you can just say, hey, I need you to clean your room right now. Okay, mom. Like, make sure they heard you. If they don't do it, then it's an immediate consequence. Hey, did you hear what I asked you to do? Yes, you asked me to clean my room. Is there a reason why you're not doing it? No, I'm just, okay, well, did you obey right away? No, okay, well, there's a consequence for that, because I asked you to do it and you didn't do it. And if you do that, then they're going to know you mean business, and then you don't really have to go beyond that. But there's times in my parenting that I get lazy, and they realize mom doesn't really mean business. And so then I have to see, man, I look at my family, and everyone's not doing the right things anymore. And then I have to look at me and be like, what have I done to make this happen? And then I realize, oh, man, I have failed. So I have to ask the Lord for forgiveness, because I've been lazy. I haven't done what God's called me to do. So I have to ask him for forgiveness. So I take to the Father first, and then I go to my kids, and I sit them down, and I say, hey, I have been a bad mom because I have not been requiring this of you, and I know God wants me to do it this way, and I have not been doing it this way. So this is your all's final warning. I'm saying it one time, and if you choose not to obey me, there's going to be a consequence. And then the next kid that doesn't do it, I have to have that consequence, and then everyone will see, oh, mom means business, and things will straighten up. It's kind of amazing, but you have to do that, and that's just the foundation. They're not going to understand all the rules or why. And I don't even think at 0 to 5, you don't have to explain the rules. I asked you not to do that. It's not okay. That's enough. But I mean, you can explain it if you feel like it. I usually save that for older, 6 to 12. Like, hey, mom, why did you never let us do that? Well, this is why. This is my reasoning. This is what I feel like God's called me to do or to do. You know, this is how we run our house. This is how it works here. And you can explain those things. Explain the whys behind the no. Give them understanding. You're not being a tyrant that's like, yes, no, yes, no, right? Like, you have reason, and you want them to understand that reason so that when they become parents someday, they know why you made the choices you made. Oh, I remember why mom did that. She, you know, there's a reason behind. But this takes time. And it honors God, it pleases him, and so this takes time. You want to explain the whys. It's okay. Sorry, not following my notes very well. You want to say, hey, like, if they're in trouble for something, you want to say, that doesn't honor God, this honors God, right? This, point them to Scripture. Like, mom, why did I have to do it? Well, because I asked you to. Well, why do you make me clean my room? Well, because I like it clean, but ultimately the problem is that you're not obeying me. And God says, obey your mom and dad. So when you don't obey mom and dad, you're dishonoring God. And because you're dishonoring God, you're getting a consequence. Like, God's not happy with you. I have to discipline you because of that. Lying. Oh, you're constantly not telling the truth. That's not okay. That God hates lying. That's not okay. That's why you get in trouble for lying, because it doesn't honor God. We want to honor God with our words, so you need to lie. That's actually something that I learned. I lied all the time as a child, like all the time. Like habitually till I was like 18, I lied all the time. And it wasn't until I read it in God's word and I heard God's heart behind it as an adult that I was like, God really is sad when I lie. And it was just exaggerating the truth is what I was doing, but it was lying. And my mom never pointed it out to me, like not once. And I asked my mom, I was like, Mom, did you know I lied? She's like, oh yeah, you were the worst liar of them all. I'm like, and I was kind of like mad at her. Like, why didn't you ever tell me that hurt God's heart? Like, I think if you would have told me, that would have pierced me at a, like 6 year, you know, I would have understood like, oh, God doesn't like that. But no one ever really pointed it out to me, so I didn't know it was sin. So I think it's important if we really want to grab a hold of the kid's heart, and if the kid is walking with God, like just point it. Like, this is what God says. We want to honor God. Point it out. And so anytime you can point it back to Scripture as to why you're doing something, that's the best. Like, why can't we watch these movies, Mom? Why don't you let me watch these movies? Well, God says, you know, keep your eyes pure. You want to be careful what you let in. We want to make sure we do these things. That's why we have these rules and regulations. Right, if they're being selfish, just point them. God says, hey, we're supposed to love others above ourselves, right? So you need to share. You need to be willing to spend time with your brother right now, or whatever it is. Point them to God. And don't make it a rule about yourself. Just point them to God. Like, it's God's rules. And then it takes the pressure off of you. Nope, you've disobeyed God's rules. 13 to 18 is the coaching years. You're still the parent, but you're going to help them navigate life and make good choices. Really, hopefully at that time, you're kind of more hands-off, and you're letting them feel natural consequences from the choices they make. Okay, you might have a rule, do your homework, and you can harp on your child to do their homework. Or you can just, okay, say it once, and if they don't listen, the natural consequences is they might not get recess the next day at school, or they might get a bad grade and have to repeat a class. Let them fail at an early age where you're still there to be like, yeah, that stinks. Oh, man, if you would have just spent your time wisely and had done that, then you wouldn't have failed, right? Like, just, and you can encourage them, and you can help them. But having those consequences, natural consequences from other people or outside, is good, because that's preparing them for life, right? You're not going to be able to follow them around and always be telling them what to do and getting them out of trouble and out of jam. Like, they need to learn, oh, man, I hit this kid in school and I got suspended, right? Like, that's a natural consequence. Of course, if they came home suspended, there'd be double punishment when they got home. Like, you don't do that. That's not okay. But, like, they're feeling natural consequences in their lives. So let them fail and feel the weight of their own decisions. It's best if they fail while they're with you, so you can help lead them back to the heart of God and to train them and to help them. And then also, when they're asking for help, instead of just giving them the answers, like, ask them, hey, what do you think God would want you to do? What do you think start teaching them, like, what do you think God wants you to do here? I'm having this issue with this friend. Well, how do you think God would want you to respond to this friend? Or what's the best way? And then pray with them. Let's pray. Let's ask God for wisdom right now that he will tell you what to say to your friend in this situation, or how to say that hurt your feelings, or whatever. Like, pray with them, encourage them, coach them, help them. And let them, like, learn how to rely on God for those answers as well. And you can guide them, of course. And then you can also put your foot down, because you don't want them, you know, do it promptly. If they're walking the wrong way, then you've got to get them back. And sometimes that means full force grabbing them and saying, no, you are walking the wrong way, and you've got to be back here. And then 18. So what do you do when they're 18 and beyond? At that point, it's like letting go. Really, they are. Hopefully, by that point, you have trained them. They've had enough failures in your own home that they're going to be okay on their own when it comes to failing. The tendency may be to come and rescue them, but at that point, it's not very helpful, right? Because they need to learn how to rely on the Lord. And it's good to have them deal with their own consequences. If they're disappointed about not getting into a college because they didn't apply for it, well, like, that's their own consequence. Like, you can't at that point be pushing them to do these things. And you're going to have to really press with your spouse, right? And just pray over your children and for your children and let God do that work in their lives. So it's important to let go and let God. It's a time when you can come together with your husband and pray for your children, trusting God to do his work and to intervene in their lives.
And now, really, God's going to be the main disciplinarian. Just like God's faithful, he disciplines us, right? I hope he disciplines you all because he loves you. And he corrects you and he shows you. And he's going to do the same for your child. So you have to trust that God knows better. God's going to discipline him just like he disciplines you. And it's letting go and letting God do it. So all of this to say, parenting's hard. Discipline is hard. The things we can do is just pray and ask the Lord for wisdom. He promises to give wisdom to all of us who ask, right? Lord, I need help in this situation. I'm going to kill this kid. Help me to show them that this is wrong and they cannot do this anymore. Break their heart for what breaks yours. Show them that they need to change. I've prayed that for my kids. For kids that just constantly are in the same sin or whatever, like, hey, Lord, break their heart. Show them that your heart towards this. Help them to know. And I pray for them out loud with them while they're being disciplined, which I know they hate sometimes, but it's okay because prayer's good. And just remember, you're going to fail. That's my life saying is just do your best and trust God with the rest. Like, we're going to fail, but God doesn't fail. So if you're constantly leaning on him and trusting him, he's gonna pull through. And then ask for help. There's so many people that have gone before you that might have a child just like yours that might have a little tip or trick to be like, try this, or have you tried that? Or, you know, this worked for my kid. Maybe you can try it on your kid, because those things are so helpful. Oh, I think that's it. We have some discussion questions we can go through, but before we do that, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for these women that are here. Lord, I thank you for the gift of motherhood that you have given us. Lord, you have given us little people to be in charge of. Lord, maybe they're not so little anymore. Maybe they're big people that we're still love and want to nurture and guide. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to do it well. Lord, that we would really be able to get to the heart of issues, that we'd be able to trust you to give us the wisdom we need to do it right and to do it well. Lord, help us to be consistent. Help us not to get tired, like not to grow weary while doing good, Lord, but to know that if we continue in the good that we should do, we're going to see the fruitful, just the fruits of being honoring and obedient to you. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you are good and that you are patient, Lord, and that you are kind to us. And I just pray that you'd help us to be good and loving and kind and patient to our kids as well. Lord, that you help us to be creative, that we'd be able to come up with the right consequence at the right time that would be painful, but that would produce righteousness in the end. And Lord, I thank you that you are our example of discipline. Lord, we know that you can have a strong hand and you can be light at times as well, Lord. And I just pray that you'd give us wisdom on when to do that for our own children, Lord. And I just pray that you would give us all that we need every day to just honor you as a mom, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help our kids to want to honor you with their lives as well. In your name I pray. Amen.